G'day, we hope you're enjoying our podcast. Producing a podcast is costly, both time and money. If you'd like to show your support and offer a one-off payment, even the price of a coffee or a beer, that'd be greatly appreciated and would go a long way to support us. If you'd like to leave a donation, head to the show notes of this episode and click on the Acast supporter link. Be sure to leave your message of support too. Thanks again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Earlier in the week, we sat down with ABC radio presenter Annie Gaffney and discussed the podcast, and that was really good. It was the first time for us going on the radio, being interviewed like that, so it was a good learning experience. And so here is our interview with Annie Gaffney. Actually, she interviewed us. So here is Annie's interview with us, Jamie and Tom, talking about Beenham Valley Road.
Now, that is the focus of a new podcast series that has been produced by two former police officers from Gympie Police. One of them, Tom Daunt, attended the scene at Beenham Valley Road, and his friend and fellow Gympie Police officer, Jamie Pultz, had already previously met Kira and her partner as part of other police inquiries. Both have since left the police force. Now, while her death has been deemed suspicious by police and an autopsy revealed that Kira died as a result of her significant injuries, no one has ever been charged over her suspicious death. Tom Daunt and Jamie Pultz, as I mentioned, have since left the police force, but Kira McLaughlin's case has stayed with them, and now the pair have made this podcast series, Beenham Valley Road, about Kira's suspicious death. The podcast has appealed to true crime fans and is ranked number 40 on iTunes. I spoke with Tom Daunt and Jamie Pultz earlier this week and started by asking Tom why the pair had decided to further investigate Kira's death from outside the police force.
This project was something that we had talked about for some time. We're both fortunate now that we're in a position to spend the time on it. But it was something that stayed with me in particular since my time in the police. And it's something that we feel needs to be highlighted and brought back into the conversation.
Let's talk about your roles in that earlier investigation into Kira's suspicious death. Tom, I understand you were actually called to the property where she was found.
Yeah, that's right. I was one of the first responders. My involvement after her death ceased, so I went to the scene and helped process the scene. But after that, it was handed off to the criminal investigation branch and taken up from there.
And Jamie, what about you? What was your involvement with the case?
Yeah, so my involvement was before all this happened. I'd met Kira months beforehand on several different occasions, and they were for different matters. One was for an unrelated matter. And do you remember that torso in Gympie?
Yes.
Well, basically, as a result of that, there was some investigations made where they were trying to identify that torso, and we had to go to all these different houses and just try and get some information and see if we could gather some information for the detectives. And as a result, I came across her and her partner that way. And then another time was for an incident I can't really go into, so I met them twice, I think. This case has stayed with me as well, and it's the first time as a police officer, you go to these things, you go to domestic violences almost daily, you go to jobs daily, you go to suicides, deaths, threatening suicides, all sorts of horrifying things. But this is the first case for both of us, I think, where somebody was alive, they were our age, they were parents like us, and then, you know, the next day they're dead, you know, probably as a result of some pretty horrendous actions. So it really stayed with us, and that's why one of the things why I want to do this podcast.
How old was Kira at the time of her death?
So she was 27 when she died. She was born in the same year as me. She had four kids.
She passed away on the 18th of July, but you were actually called out to the property at Woolvi where she lived on the 17th.
On the 17th, that's correct. And the alleged incident was reported to have happened on the 16th. So there was quite a period of time where we thought she had initially sustained the injuries to when emergency services were called to when she finally got to Gold Coast Hospital. So it was almost 48 hours.
Why to the Gold Coast?
She was transported to Gympie Hospital, and because of the nature of her injuries, she had to be airlifted.
And also the lack of scanning facilities they had at the time.
That's right.
Let's talk about what we know were the injuries that she sustained, as have been detailed by an autopsy.
Yeah, so there was 105 bruises, approximately 105 bruises all over her body. Some bruises measured up to 10 centimetres in length, so quite significant. There was reports of head trauma.
Yeah, the head trauma was noted on the autopsy report. The head injuries, I'm not a doctor, so I don't really understand all of them, but it says that they are the cause of her death, more or less. Yeah,
it sounds like she was, you know, in a terrible way when the ambulance was called.
Yeah, correct.
Now, you've been in touch with Kira's mum, Alison Russell, and you want to make the point, I guess, here at this point, that Jamie, that you're both out of the police force and you've been creating Beenham Valley Road post your life as police officers. Have you had to rely on any kind of police resources or information that came from investigations at the time of Kira's death?
No, absolutely not. As I said, Alison, I've spoke to her probably about 2 months now and just reached out, told her what we wanted to do. And from there, we've built quite the relationship, and she's provided us with everything. She's given us statements, some autopsy documentation, the Form 1 that the police write to the coroner. She's given us contacts. So a lot of the people we've interviewed have been as a result of Alison providing that person to us. And we interviewed Arthur Gorry, the journalist from Gympie Times, and we got a bit of information from him. So yeah, everything's been separate from the police, and we had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it's fair to say that if we hadn't built the relationship with Alison, we had the success of what we've experienced so far with the listenership and how wide it's gone would not have been possible. She's really opened the door to a lot of possibilities and a lot of really positive action.
You've already published 3 episodes of Beenham Valley Road, plus a bonus episode, and to your surprise, this is doing really well on iTunes. People seem to really love anything where there's a kind of a criminal investigation involved, but this is much more for you two. As you've said, this is wanting to find out what happened to Kira. Tom, what's your understanding of why there were no charges pressed by police in the aftermath of what has been deemed a suspicious death?
Look, it's really hard to say, and I'm sure there are good reasons for it. In my experience with the police, everything is checked and balanced. So I'm sure for whatever reason there is, it's a logical one. But I just can't help but think that there's something missing here. I think now that Jamie and I are out of the police, people may feel a bit more comfortable divulging information to us than what they would to a couple of detectives who are rocking up just after a really traumatic experience. So we feel privileged that we can tell this story on behalf of Alison and Kira. And so far, the people that we've spoken to have been really open and really trusting of us, and we've tried to reciprocate that.
You're listening to ABC Sunshine Coast, and my guests are former police officers Tom Daunt and Jamie Pultz, who at one stage were working at Gympie Police Station when Tom was called out to an incident at a property at Woolvi on the 17th of July 2014. A young woman was in a bad way there, Kira McLaughlin. She passed away from her injuries in hospital, and her death has been deemed suspicious by police, but there has been no result in terms of bringing anyone to justice. Jamie, what can you tell us about the situation leading up to Kira's death? I understand that it started on the 16th of July with some kind of gathering, it's been described, at the property where she was found.
Yeah, that's right. So it's fair to say her life was spiralling out of control leading up to this incident. So what happened was Kira had shacked up, for lack of a better word, with this new partner after her marriage broke up, and they didn't really know each other that well, and he moved in, and as a result of that, some things happened where her kids weren't in the best environment. So Kira's ex-husband and Alison did
her
their
mum,
best
yep,
to get the kids out of that house. So they got the kids out of that house and took them to the ex-husband, and Kira's boyfriend then reached out to his sister to say, can we come pick you up from the Gold Coast hinterland? We need you to help us get Kira's kids back. And she thought that was strange. She doesn't have anything to do with that sort of thing, but she said, yeah, I'll help you. So they went down and picked her up. They brought her back to Gympie. The boyfriend, who we're calling Jason, had to go to court that day. Apparently court went good, her words were. And then from there, they went to the pokies, won some money, went to Big W, went to some posh pub, and they all went back to Kira's house on Beenham Valley Road for a bit of a drinking session. And it was there that there was, all of a sudden, Kira, according to the sister, snapped and just got crazy and hysterical and just went into a rage and started attacking the sister. And so the sister retaliated, end up punching her four times, and each time Kira had come at her with another object or another threat. And after that, the sister and everyone else, including Jason, left the house. They got a lift back with the sister's mum. They went back to Gympie, and it was there a phone call was made to Kira from the boyfriend, Jason, and it was decided he would go back. Two of the brothers actually dropped him back there sometime that night on the 16th, where it's alleged that he was alone with her. And sometime in the morning, I've spoken to one of the brothers, apparently it was about 6 or 7 in the morning, Jason called the brother, and the brother could hear Kira moaning in the background. And Jason said, look, she's defecated, she's urinated herself, I can't wake her up, what do I do? And he said, mate, call it F an ambulance, what are you calling me for? Anyway, he hung up, and it was alleged that he didn't call an ambulance until 3 o'clock that day. So he waited, you know, half a day to call the ambulance. When the ambulance came, they took her to Gympie, then took her to Gold Coast, and yeah, she was pronounced dead. So that's the scenario leading up to it.
And this has all been documented by police, Tom?
That's right, police and emergency services, hospitals.
But none of this nonetheless progressed to any kind of legal action or a court case?
Not as yet, no, not as yet. And we feel like this story is worth, you know, more than that.
What do you hope might come out of Beenham Valley Road?
It touches on a lot of satellite issues. There's a massive domestic violence element. There's a massive mental health element. There's a massive justice system element. All these components that make this story interesting for people who have listened to it all over the world now. Like, we're getting messages from people in America who are saying this is our favorite podcast, and, you know, all kinds of stuff which blows our mind. But we just hope that this story resonates with the listeners. If at the end of the day it leads to some more information that police might be able to follow up on and lead to a charge, or at least lead to some progress in the matter, then that would be enough for us. I'd like to say it would be ideal if said person is charged and convicted of murder, but, you know, that's a long shot. There's a lot in that. We just hope that people resonate with the story and pick up on the issues that we're trying to highlight.
How's Kira's family doing, Jamie? We're 5 years almost on from her death. How are they holding up, and what are they hoping might come out of your podcast?
Well, Alison wants to, her mum wants to scream from the rooftops. She's that excited about the podcast. She told us that she was, yeah, a broken person, didn't talk to anyone, lost all social aspects of her life, and became a hermit. And as a result of this podcast and the hope that people might hear her story, because beforehand you Google Kira McLaughlin and there was one article or two articles, you know, there was nothing, and every other suspicious death seems to have a bit more coverage, whereas this just got swept under the rug. So Alison's really excited at the prospect of maybe an inquiry, coronial inquiry, maybe some people coming forward and telling some crucial information they might know. And her ultimate goal is for someone to be charged and held accountable. She's broken, I guess you could say. She's broken, but she's got some hope now, and she's starting to get her spark back. She's excited about what could happen.
Yeah, and even in the last couple of months, we've noticed a change in her. We've been speaking with her for a little while now, and even now, like on social media, she's sharing domestic violence awareness posts, and she's, you know, commenting on these issues now, whereas before that was just completely off the table.
How many more episodes of Benham Valley Road do you think you'll be making?
That's undetermined at the moment. It depends on how many people talk to us. It could be 10, it could be 15.
And hopefully justice for Kira McLaughlin as a result.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
Tom Daunt and Jamie Pultz, thanks so much for telling us about Benham Valley Road.
Thank you very much for having us, Annie.
Benham Valley Road is a podcast about the suspicious death of Woolvi woman Kira McLaughlin in 2014, July that year, and the two former police officers behind it, Tom Daunt and Jamie Pultz. On ABC Sunshine Coast, we have contacted both the State Coroner's Office for an update on whether they're considering opening a coronial inquest into Kira McLaughlin's death. Her family are calling for this to happen. We've also put in a call to Kira's mother's lawyer, Peter Boyce, to find out if he's had any further updates from the coroner's office, and we're waiting for a reply from both. 7 to 10 on ABC Sunshine Coast.
How's you listened to that interview, man?
Yeah, man, I heard that. Heard that live. They played it at 9:30, and I was standing by with the. Actually, I was working, but I had the recorder plugged in, ready to record it. So
yeah, nice.
Yeah, it was good, man. Like, you spoke really well. That's for sure. You spoke really well.
Thanks, man. I thought the same of you. I thought we both did, to be honest. I thought it sounded a lot better than what I thought it was going to sound, but that's just human nature, I think, to, you know, self-depreciate everything. I think it was good. And then did you get that message from Alison afterwards about the coronial stuff? Said something like, we did it, Peter's getting in contact with the coroner's office, and there's definitely going to be a hearing, something like that. It's not in front of me, but that was the gist of it.
Going in there, we were thinking, okay, we've got to watch what we say about certain things, and then, of course, she asked the question, you know, like, and I was thinking, just don't mention the torso, don't talk about that, and then the first thing she says is, how do you know Kira? And I'm like, remember the torso?
Yeah.
Just straight. Straight there, like
you just done the hard work.
Yeah. It's like telling a kid not to touch a boiling kettle. They're gonna touch it.
I've had a bit of feedback because I was in a meeting when it aired, and even when I came back, I've had some really positive feedback about it.
Oh, really?
And I only listened to it in its entirety, literally just before. So. Yeah, man, it's a good step, and I just hope people can, you know, still follow the journey and follow the story. It's obviously resonating with a lot of people, so that's a good thing.
It is, mate, and it's a lesson learnt. You know, like I said, I thought you spoke pretty well, and for me on the other hand, though, I sounded like I was at Melbourne Cup commentating.
It's like dun dun dun.
I was like, slow down, champ. She's not going anywhere.
That's a talent in and of itself, though, mate. You can't teach that.
Thanks so much, guys. We've had so much good feedback. It's just overwhelming, so thank you again.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.